Just some familiar verses, stuff I was just reading again today. One's Ephesians 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of the world and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, demonic spirit. The prince of the power of the air is Satan and all his fallen demons. Of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. And among them, we all too lived that way. We lived in the lust of our flesh. We indulged the desires of the flesh and the mind. And were by nature children of wrath, even as they are. But God, being rich in his mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us. Right? Such an important verse there. God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, you know. I was taught growing up, I guess when I first came to the Lord, or even as a kid growing up in church, about that all of God's anger was taken out on the cross, and you kind of get this idea that God was angry with us. You know, he's angry with people. But this verse right here says that God did this because of his great love, which he has for us, you know, and for God so loved the world. And I remember him speaking that to me one time. I think it was, wasn't too long after 9/11, when they were searching out Osama bin Laden and knowing that he was the culprit behind all that. And the Lord just speaking to me one day about, would I give a life of one of my children up for him, you know? Of course it was no, you know, I wouldn't, and you wouldn't either. You wouldn't give your life, you wouldn't give your child up for me, you know. Just the Lord was just using that to just show of the love that he has, that he did, you know, for people like him. And because we're all bunched into that group. But anyway, that's just, if we understand that, we just really can begin to understand the grace of God and his life in us, that because of his rich in mercy and the love which we loved us. He went to the cross because of the joy set before him, and which is us and which is you. Even when you were dead in your transgressions, he made us alive together in Christ. A lot of translations say with Christ, but again, that word is there. It's actually in Christ. So he made you alive together in Christ when he planted you in him. By grace you've been saved. And he raised us up with Christ. And he seated us with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. It's an amazing thing. So if you want to know how, when people talk about they feel like they've drifted away from the Lord, or we don't feel as close to him, you can't get much closer than that, right? Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, and you are therefore in Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father. That's pretty close, right? So, anyway, this is where we dwell. We live in the heavenlies. We're in Christ so that in the ages to come, this is what God's heart is, that he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ. So, in Christ, the Lord's heart is that through forever, you and I would experience everything that we have, all his riches. And he uses that word in kindness there. And when going back and looking at that, that word really means in the realm of kindness. Like that God wants us to experience, we're in Christ so that we can experience all the riches of that in the realm of kindness. Because of God's kindness and goodness. Meaning that, you know, when the Lord speaks to us, one way we can really know it's his voice because of he speaks in kindness, right? Everybody, Scripture talks about that in Proverbs, to bind kindness around your neck, right? Kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit, which is the attributes of God that... he's kind, right? And anyway, that's none of that's the point. But this is just our life. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. This is the gift of God. Or to grace you've been saved. And we're his workmanship. We hear that all the time. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Real simple word, but I'm just going to read you some things that are just very familiar to us. This is in Colossians chapter 3. It's been a real short word today. Therefore, since you have been raised up with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly places, continue to seek in the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, your affections on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your very life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So just sort of a simple thing. The Lord was just reiterating that, speaking that to me today about this awesome thing we hear about our identity being in Christ, right? And really finding out who we are. You know, it's a funny thing that in seeking the Lord and then, you know, setting my affections, my focus, everything on that, then we begin to discover our true identity. I think that's amazing. And knowing him and seeking him, that I find out who I really am, right? It's so easy to get lost. And you think about, wow, the evil one and his attack against humanity, and how he's tried, you know, taking them out, just wiping them out, killing them all, you know, in the whole 20th century, you know, when you had the two great wars, World War I, II, probably from that, it's estimated between 50 and 70 million people lost their lives. Then the whole Spanish flu thing. Then you had Vietnam and Korea, and you know all the wars that's going on, where humanity's just almost tried to kill everybody, and through abortion, and seeing that that didn't work, what he really went after is people's identity, you know, and that's why we really need to be praying for the generation, especially Generation Z, those born from 95, 96 to 2015, that era. You know, if y'all, I know Christ the King people have heard me, but Connie and Tracy, if you hadn't, you know, we were at a conference and we're just talking about the people of that generation and how only like 9% of those have some type of knowledge of salvation in Christ. You know, 9%. And only about 4% have a biblical worldview of that generation. And how more than any time in history, identity has been so attacked, where they don't know who they are, not even know whether you're male or female, you know, and how that's trying to be, you know, even at an early age. I listened to this guy, Sean Bowles. I like, you know, listening to him a lot. A prophetic guy, that loves the Lord, and I think he's in his 40s. Lives out in California and ministers a lot to people out there, you know, in the entertainment business. Very, God uses his prophetic gift to kind of open their eyes to the reality of God, that he's real. They were off on vacation. So his little five-year-old missed her kindergarten class. But when they came back, they found out that a drag queen had been to their school reading to them, right? Not only reading to them, but telling them, and I'm just going to say this, y'all forgive me for saying this, but telling them places on their bodies that were erogenous zones. 5-year-olds, right? That's what's happening in our world, y'all, you know. And that's what's happening in the public school systems all over the country. And the very heart of it is trying to take out a generation, you know, by getting them not to know who they are, their identity. So it's an amazing thing to me. I think so you can see it, you know, when you have eyes to see, and you're seeing it through spiritual eyes, you can see why it's happening now, you know. Having talks with our girls all the time about stuff like that when they were growing up, about the identity, who they are, you know, and so important. But it's all rooted in our identity, who we are, who I am in Christ, right? That's only found in Him, right? And in seeking Him, that my identity is in Christ, and as I'm getting to know this Jesus, and the cool thing about it, He's made it so accessible to everybody. We all have the same thing that we're all, you know. Yesterday I was saying, just think about, you know, if you went inside of me, you're here, you're now in Christ. Then as I begin to walk in this and seek Him, then who I am in Christ just starts coming forth. You know, my identity begins to come forth. And how the very twisting of that is to, because he knows something's going on. Like, He knew, why did He try to put Moses to death, right? Because He knew, now they had been in bondage for 400 years in Egypt, right? How did He know at that particular time to go after Moses? Well, He knew something was up, right? I don't know how they know that, but He knew something was up, and they were trying to kill all the male, the Hebrew kids, you know. God spared Moses. Same thing when Jesus was born, right? When the wise men came to Herod, told him, and then Herod had all the male children killed from 2 years old and down, right? Not knowing exactly what it was, but he was going to stop whatever was happening, right? Same thing going on now. Not knowing what's up, but He's trying to stop what's going on now. That's why I believe that we are in the third great and the last great awakening that we'll have. Because He's trying to take out a generation that will be key. All of us will be key, you know, in ushering in the second coming of Christ, right, after their identity. So it's so important to pray for them, guys. I'd say that to say, pray for them. And two, make it your number one priority in life to seek Him for, you know. And we talked about that today. Love God with all your heart, soul. I mean, my encouragement to you and the word the Lord spoke to me about this year, all the stuff that He's been saying about 10, and He was like, Craig, tend to your garden, right? Make that your number one priority in your life, your walk with Me, right? Just like all through Song of Solomon talks about that. And He was always inviting the bride, come along and come to this place, this garden. He used the word the garden, you know, let's see. Come to the garden, imbibe, drink deeply. You know, you can have all that you want because... I mean, that's our life. Anyway, Christ is our life. It says here, Christ, who is your life, is revealed, you'll be revealed with Him in glory, you know. Because if Jesus is not my life, that's not going to be a priority to me, right? Christ, who is your very life. That means that's where our very source of life, where everything flows from in my life, comes from that. It comes from my union. We know that. I'm not saying something that's real simple, but I'm saying something that's profound, that is essential for us, because something happened here at Mother's Day where the Lord, the Spirit of God, just kind of fell and invited us to this new place, kind of, you know, just... almost like a revival took place here. And this place that the Lord called us to is a place called Encounter, right? I love that name, because a place of encounter means that you're going to have a real new, fresh, whatever, powerful encounter with the living God. Very personal, you know, and if it's personal, it's corporate, but that word is just still on the forefront of my mind. I can't get away from it. And I've never felt such desire or a burning or whatever it is to seek the Lord as I do now, you know. My encouragement to you is get a journal. We talked about that yesterday. Somebody was saying, Sunday, Michael Berry had the word about getting a journal. I know I'm going a little long today, but we'll make up for it. But about getting a journal and just writing down. But I really think what's happening, what he's doing right now, is opening the eyes of our heart. Ephesians 1:18, as Paul said, that he would open the eyes of your heart, that you would know, number one, the hope of his calling. You know, what's God's calling? Well, his calling to all of us is the same, to know him, right? The hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what we just read here. The eyes of your heart would be open so you would know your calling. Two, you would know all the riches that are yours in Christ. And three, it says that you would know the surpassing greatness of his power toward you that believe. Eyes of the heart open. And that's when he goes on into before Ephesians chapter 2, where we are now, where our identity comes from, what happened to us, where we're seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and continue to seek those things above. And when you do, not only will you encounter him, but you'll be more secure than you've ever been before. Who you are will come forth, right? And if we had to write all of us, like, who are you? You know, what is my purpose? Who am I? It'd probably take us a while. We'd have to sit and think through it, right? But your identity, who you are in him. When Christ is revealed to you, you are revealed in glory, right? And there's nothing better. And what that does is that just creates such a hunger, a burning in you to just want to go back there. Go back there. You know, to me, I've told y'all this, y'all have heard me say this, that, you know, when I wake up in the morning, usually the first thing on my mind is, I can't wait, really excited about, no matter how I feel, doesn't matter. I'm looking forward to my time with him because it is, it's amazing. And, it's just like immediately I'm in his presence immediately. Right? Used to sometimes you just, you know, in our worship, we stuff took a while maybe, but now it doesn't. I mean, it's just like he starts speaking. I can't even hardly get my pen and paper out and notebook out, you know, because he's speaking so fast and speaking so much that we're there, guys. And God is revealing himself. And if you want to know this mystery, Scripture talks about it being a mystery. Paul said that we this is what we do, that we may present every man complete in Christ. Right? That's what he did when he spent time with these places. He spent time with them until they knew who they were in Christ. And he knew when he did that, then it's time to go. So y'all make that your priority, you know, more than anything else. Make him, seeking him, your absolute number one priority. And here's what you're going to find. You're going to find him. You're going to encounter him in ways that you thought never possible, or ways that you've only dreamed of. Your dreams will be made true. You will find your dreams will start coming true, because that's all of our hearts. We'd all say, yeah, I really want to know him better, right? Thank you, Lord. Well, let's stand. So that was more kind of a little word, but more almost a prophetic word to you, an invitation to the more.